This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. The Orange Ribbon is a symbol used across Australia to represent multiculturalism, anti-racism, and international understanding. Today we're talking with Jeff and Dragon from GLIDIF, the Gay and Lesbian Immigration Task Force. We'll explore the process of applying for immigration based on your same-sex relationship and hear some success stories, including my own. If you have any comments on the program or to ask questions, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
And welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Jeff and Dragon. Is it Dragon or Dragon?
It's pronounced Dragon.
Dragon, okay, I apologise.
Thank you, Mark.
And so you're here from the GLITF Task Force. Can you just tell us a bit about what the GLITF stands for?
Yes, Gay and Lesbian Immigration Task Force Victoria. We've been operating since 1983, so we've got 27, 28 years up our sleeve. One of our original advisors has only just recently retired.
Wow.
We're run entirely by volunteers, so nobody gets paid for what they do. Most of us have, in fact, been through the process ourselves and have come into the task force just to help other people. Mm-hmm. So we've got a committee that runs the organisation. We have meetings twice a month on the first Sunday of the month at 5 p.m.
And where do they take place?
Where do they take place? At the Betty Day Centre, 67 Argyle Street, St Kilda.
And we'll get that info up onto our Facebook
page. We'll put on Facebook,
page.
Okay.
And also the contact details later.
Yep. So we have our 5 o'clock meeting on a Sunday. That's a general advice and information session that I've been running for the last 3.5 years.
Okay.
We generally run for about 45 minutes to an hour, in which I outline the process involved in gaining the necessary visa. And then the people who come along can talk to one of our advisors afterwards on a one-to-one basis,
mm-hmm.
Ask their questions, get their paperwork checked over. And the other type of meeting is on a Tuesday at 7:30, the third Tuesday of the month,
okay.
At 7:30. That is an advisor-only meeting, so it's a one-to-one session on a first-come, first-served basis. We have 3 registered advisors. Sometimes the Tuesday night to... Did I say Tuesday?
You did.
Why do I have that in my head?
I don't know.
Another one of these senior moments. It's a Monday.
Okay. It's don't rock up on Tuesday.
It's the third Monday at 7:30. It's funny, I've been making that mistake constantly for 3 years.
Maybe you should just move the meeting.
Yeah.
It might be easier, mightn't it? So the third Monday of the month, the advisor-only meeting, when you can come along, ask your questions. The benefit to people of the advisor meetings is if they have specific issues that they want to bring up, particularly issues that can't be brought up in an open meeting.
Mm-hmm.
If you want your paperwork checked over, particular questions you want to ask, the Monday meetings as the one to go to.
And do people pay for this?
It's $100 for a full year's membership,
okay,
which includes the yellow book, what we call our yellow book, which is a very detailed outline of the process that's mm-hmm. involved. And I usually say on a Sunday, if you follow the yellow book, it's your Bible.
Yep.
You'll get there.
Yep.
The yellow book's got it all. So $20 of your $100 goes to the yellow book.
Okay.
If you rejoin for another year, it's $80.
Okay. And how did you both get involved? What's your GLIDIF story, Dragon?
Well, my partner and I are in the process of applying for the de facto visa, and so we researched online some areas of help, and we found GLIDIF. Mm-hmm. So we went to the general meeting on a Sunday night. That was back in May, and then we went to an advisory meeting in June, and I saw that they needed volunteers, and it seemed like a really good organization to help out with, mm-hmm. and I just joined in at the beginning of this month, and so...
Okay, and you're part of the committee, the more formal side of it?
Yeah, definitely. They asked me, and I am taking on the role of helping out with the publicity part of it. So when the Carnival comes out in January, yep. I'll be helping out with that. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, excited for it.
Cool. And Jeff?
A little bit similar to Dragon. I and my partner were helped very, very much indeed by the organization back in 2006, 2007.
Okay.
And so I felt it was appropriate to go in as a volunteer and help others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And from the sound of you, one of you was the Australian partner. And, of course, these people are not each other's partners, obviously, since Dragon has just gotten here. But Jeff is the Australian partner,
yes.
who did brought somebody out. And, Dragon, you are from...
I'm from Canada.
You're from Canada, yeah. And you are in the process of being brought out. Congratulations. Is there a cotillion when you are formally out?
Yeah. Yeah. And how did the task force get started in the first place? I mean, you say you've been for 23 years. What's the history of that?
I quite honestly don't know, but I think it was just simply that cases were arising. I can remember... back in 1983 or 85, myself helping a couple of friends of mine mm-hmm. To go through the process. In those days, there was no formal process like there is today. It was a decision made entirely by the Minister for Immigration. So there was no specific format like there is now.
Yeah, it was 1991 when Australia changed its law to allow same-sex
really?
Migration, yep,
yes.
which is fairly early, given that the US still doesn't have it.
True.
But anyway, yeah. so 83 surprised me. I thought that this would have come about in sort of 91-ish, just after the law change, but you're saying that
no,
it was possible before?
I think it was
before.
The other way around, actually. I think the 91 changes were as a result.
Okay.
The organisations, we've got affiliates in New South Wales, Queensland and South Australia, but a great deal of lobbying was being done in the early days to government to get the law changed.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily enough, fortunately enough, these days we don't need to lobby
yep.
Because we've fairly much achieved what we set out to achieve.
And with the back in those days, so you had to go for each couple would have to go to the minister to get the approval,
yes.
then, was it? So
yes.
that must have been quite an arduous process. And
it was an arduous yeah. process. It was a lengthy process yeah. too, yeah.
And have things changed a lot recently? Is it still the same process now as it was sort of in 91, or is it getting easier, harder?
I can't say I can answer that question, Mark, because I wasn't involved in it in 91.
Okay.
I had that involvement back in the 80s and then yeah. literally nothing to do with it until I met my partner in 2003 and then I became much more interested.
I do know that during the John Howard years he cut the number of same-sex visas that were allowable during a year by half.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the numbers were, but like from 800 a year down to 400 or thereabouts.
Mm.
And I don't know if Labor, when they got back in 2007, changed that. Mm. I don't actually know.
There were quotas, but I don't know. I think we don't have quotas now.
Okay.
I haven't heard the word used.
Yep.
There's
yeah.
no separate quota for same-sex visas.
There used to be, but
yep.
not now.
There was.
Okay. Not now.
That's,
since,
that's a good progress.
I think it was the middle of 2009
okay.
When the interdependency visa, as it was called then, was dropped. And now we all come under the heading of de facto.
Oh, okay.
Whether it's male, female, or male, we're all the same.
Did that change the process of application
no,
any?
Okay. No. It changed the visa numbers. That's about all it did.
Yep. Well, I think we're going to jump in and play a music track.
Sounds
here
good.
Because our guests have chosen some music that is appropriate for the topic we're talking about. And again, if you'd like to contact us and talk about immigration or just tell your story, 0427-JOY-949 or on-air at joy.org.au, or I'm not sure if there's somebody on the phones, but you can try giving us a call at 1-300-JOY-949. And if your story's really good, we might even pop you on air, because we are going to have some stories later from all of us who have participated in this process. But right now, let's get to the music. You're listening to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome back. You're on Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. And that was Waiting for the Man I Love by Kate Bush. And why did we... Well, obviously, I know why we listened to that song. But which one of you picked it? And what? Why did you pick that one? Because there are loads of songs that you could have chosen.
Well, first of all, I think, Barb, I've got to say, it could equally apply to Waiting for the Lady I Love, too.
Indeed, the woman I love.
The woman, yes. I chose that because, first of all, I like it. I love that Kate Bush version.
It's a beautiful song.
But secondly, I think for an organisation that helps to cement relationships, The Man I Love is a very, very appropriate song.
Indeed it is. I've got one little technical thing that I was supposed to do, and so we're just going to have a word from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to come back and talk to you about the process of who's able to apply for this visa and how it works and what are the sticking points and that sort of thing. So stick with us. We'll be right back to Orange Ribbon on Joy.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Safe and filled with gays and lesbians, because that's what we're talking about today, is how do we bring more gay and lesbian people to Australia? How do we fill these shores with sexual minorities? And we're talking with Dragon and Jeff today from GLIDIF, the Gay and Lesbian Immigration Task Force of Victoria, about the process of bringing out your same-sex partner, or if you're already living here, as Dragon is, how do you get to stay forever and ever? And so what are the rules for being able to apply for immigration as a same-sex partner?
Okay. Well, the visa is for same-sex partners who are in a genuine and continuing and exclusive relationship to the exclusion of all others. It's a two-stage process. The first visa is granted on a temporary basis for 2 years before the second permanent resident visa is granted 2 years later.
Do straight people have those same rules?
Straight people have exactly the same rules.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, then yes. I don't have to be irate or anything.
No. No, we have.
I could see you getting all ready.
I was willing to get irate, but no need.
Both parties must be at least 18 years old. They must not be in what's called a prohibited degree of relationship, that is, half brother or sister or whatever.
Some other incestuous,
yes,
pairing.
Yep. They need to have a genuine, continuing and exclusive relationship, a mutual commitment to a shared life, and be living together under the same roof, or not apart on a permanent basis.
Okay. How do you prove all those things?
Ah.
I'm sure some Mandarin in Canberra has worked that out.
Well, yes, a lot of Mandarins, I suspect. The process is not difficult, but it's detailed.
Mm.
I think people who perhaps have worked in administrative positions find it easier than people who have perhaps worked with their hands. And it's a long-term process. What we advise people to do is get a cardboard box or some such and start tossing bits of paper and photos and what have you in there, mm-hmm. and develop this over, say, up to 12 months. You need to be living together for 12 months before you can even start to apply.
Okay.
So you've got that time to start to prepare. And there is a lot of preparation to be done over a time. Mm-hmm. The sort of evidence that they're looking for is the financial evidence, that is, having joint assets like a joint bank account, a shared lease, joint electricity, gas, telephone, and what have you, in both names.
What if you live someplace where, you know, having your same-sex partner's name on the electricity bill is going to get you arrested or killed or something?
in this country?
Well, no, but if you're living, you know, if
Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, if you and your partner happen to live in Kuwait or Oman or someplace where it's really just not possible to be out publicly like that, you may be living together and maybe you could prove it by, you know, photographic evidence or something. But what would the bureaucrats in Canberra accept?
The bureaucrats in Canberra would accept a situation where it's inappropriate or dangerous in an overseas country to be overtly out and to have that sort of evidence. You'd have to have pretty strong evidence, but different.
Yep.
So they look at the financial aspects, at the household aspects of the relationship, that is, mundane things like who does the laundry, who does the washing, who...
The maid, right?
Cooks. Yes. Who cooks, who shops, who does the vacuuming and so forth, all those mundane things that happened in a house. They look at social aspects of the relationship. They want to know whether you present yourself to other people as a couple and whether you engage in activities together as a couple. And the sort of evidence that they're looking for there can be in the form of photographs taken over a period of time. And it's important in those photographs that both parties are in and so are other people, particularly mixed genders. So we don't want an all-boys or an all-girls club.
So you don't want to take your photos down at the Laird or something?
Yeah.
You probably don't want to share those photos anyway.
True. Yeah, so photographs. And then you also need to provide at least two, and I think in our case we provided about six, statutory declarations from family and friends, which basically ask two questions. How long have you known these people, and why do you think they're in a genuine relationship? They're also looking at things like the length of the relationship and the degree of emotional support that you draw from each other. And this comes in the form of a stat deck from each of the main parties.
Okay.
Each partner writes their story, basically, and tells how you met, how your relationship developed, when you decided to live together.
Do they set you in separate rooms and make you write this out at the same time so that, you know, you haven't already discussed the story, you don't write them together?
You do it at home.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
You basically
could, you know, do it for each other and make sure that all of your information is the same.
No. Well, you need to be a little careful there. You don't want to be both writing the same story because it looks artificial.
Yep.
Another point that I often make and observe myself is that if your partner's first language is not English, don't clean it up. In our case, I went through it and just made a few changes where things weren't quite clear.
Yep.
But the grammar I left as it was, as long as it could be understood. But if you've got a partner whose first language is not English and they write perfect English, it just doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. It looks artificial.
Yeah.
So those statements are quite important to outline the aspects of the relationship.
Yep.
And why you want to be together, how you would feel if the visa were not granted.
So there's a bit of a personal essay from each partner. There's photographs, there's bills, there's leases, there's testimonials from other people.
Joint wills.
Okay.
Powers of attorney.
Yep.
Power of attorney medical. All those things go to help.
Yep.
No one thing is in itself a killer. In other words, say you don't have a joint bank account, but the rest of your application is good and strong.
Yep.
Fine. That's okay.
Yeah. I'm picturing, I don't know if any of you have seen the film Green Card with Andy McDowell and Gerard Depardieu.
Oh, a long time ago.
And at one part, you know, they it wasn't an authentic relationship, and they tricked her out by asking her, you know, sort of like, what color toothbrush did he use, or what cologne did he use, or something, or toothpaste or something, and she didn't know. And I'm thinking, I could live with somebody for 20 years and have the faintest idea what cologne or toothpaste they used. And the only way I would know the toothbrush is it's different from mine. And so is there that kind of level of detail that you need to know?
No.
Okay.
In fact, in recent years, and this happened to us in 2007, there is no interview.
Okay.
They will assess it entirely on the paperwork that you put in. If they need to sit down and talk to you and clarify some things, of course they'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the paperwork alone can get you the visa.
Yep. And is it, six or one, half a dozen the other, whether you apply here in Australia? What if you are a couple who live somewhere else because you've met overseas and you're applying from somewhere else? Is it similar?
Yes, pretty much the same process applies.
Okay.
The visa numbers are different, but that's only a technicality.
Okay, and we are going to talk about those differences when we tell our stories, because I did apply from overseas, and I know you two have done the process from here in this country,
I'm
so
sure.
We can compare and contrast.
Yes, yes.
And for when the bureaucrats are reviewing those documents, are they doing it in a way to sort of see if they can trick you out, or is it done in a very fair way sort of thing?
Look, I can't talk about what's in the mind of immigration bureaucrats.
Who can?
There are two bits of experience that I can draw on. One, when we went in to lodge, the guy on the desk couldn't have been nicer.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have been nicer or more helpful or more friendly.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do any assessing. He merely accepted our paperwork and issued the visa that bridging visa. The lady who actually did our assessment, I spoke to on the phone several times. She was an absolute delight.
Mm-hmm.
Real down-to-earth, no-nonsense lady who wasn't bound by red tape. We've also, although we haven't been able to do this in recent years, but we used to be able to get a couple of the people from immigration to come out and talk to our group once a year. And again, really nice, friendly, helpful people.
Mm-hmm. That's
good.
So the people who are doing this are not looking to trip you up. No, they've got a job to do. They've got law. They've got guidelines. They've got criteria that have got to be met. And providing that goes through, their personal opinion doesn't count.
Well, that's great. Well, I am going to say thank you to Leo, who's listening on via the Joy app while he's walking home, and he's enjoying the chat and the music and looking forward to more. So thank you so much, Leo. And then we're going to come back after I remember to play the announcements, and then we've got another song, and then we'll continue our talking and maybe tell some stories. So thank you so much for listening. You're listening to Joy. Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
And that was Serena Ryder, Weak in the Knees, and that was Dragon's Choice. So why that song? By the way, you're listening to us on Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, in case you didn't catch it before. But why that song?
That was the song that I introduced my boyfriend to, and that was the first day that we met, and brought him back to call me and ask me who this singer was, and kind of hit off our relationship from there.
So. Very cool. And how long ago was that?
Early September, so September the 8th now.
Okay. Ooh.
Not
close to September 11th.
Yeah.
Not that you're waiting on the moment. And so what's your story? How did you're involved with GLIDF because you went to a session. So what took you to the session? You met this presumably Australian boyfriend for whom you played the music.
Yeah.
And what's your story? Tell us your story.
Well, I was before I arrived in Australia, I was backpacking in Asia. Ran out of money and came here. I was lucky enough to meet an amazing roommate 2 days after I arrived, and my roommate worked at the Hilton, and he introduced me to my now boyfriend. They worked together at the Hilton, and so we met on my birthday on September the 8th. That's how I remember the day so well.
Okay.
And just started from there. We met in September. My roommate, actually him and his partner, had applied have done the de facto visa as well. His partner was from England, and so they did it, and they kind of introduced us to the whole process and stuff.
Yep.
And they told us about the help, and so we took advantage of the GLIDF help from it. So
great.
Yeah. So when you arrived in Australia, were you planning to be here permanently, and or just traveling? Or
just traveling. It wasn't even in my mind. I wanted to come down, see Australia, avoid another Canadian winter, and just came here and fell in love. So yeah. Fell in love with the man of my dreams and the country. So
all right. So once you get the permanent residency visa, that means you can stay. Do you want to stay?
I think we do. Well, I do for at least a few years.
Yep.
And then I'd like to bring him back to Canada.
Yeah, presumably Canada, since you can get married there, they let you bring your partner as well. So exactly. It's not the issue that those backward people south of the border have.
Yeah, that's definitely on our minds. So that would be a great opportunity to do that. So
Indeed.
And how did you sort of come to the conclusion that, right, I want to go through the visa process here, and it's quite a big step in the commitment to the relationship, I would think, as well.
It is.
It sort of forces it into a condensed period, maybe? Or?
It was a condensed period. It definitely, you don't want to think about it right away. And at the beginning of a relationship, you want to enjoy the new beginnings of a relationship. But it just kind of blossomed. And what Jeff said, he said, keep a box handy and store everything. My suggestion is take care of all your mail and keep it all. Even if it's just regular junk mail, any banking statements, anything like that, just throw it in there. And you can make your decision afterwards. And as we progress in a relationship, we definitely felt like we wanted to pursue it and stay together. So
yeah, Jeff, you mentioned that he was counting the days. Does that mean that there's a time frame within which the application has to be lodged, or that sort of thing?
There's no time frame in which it has to be lodged, but there's a minimum period that you must live together as a couple of 12 months under the same roof. It doesn't have to be in Australia, but you must live together for that full 12 months. The minister decided a couple of years ago that people who are successful in registering their relationship with the state births, deaths and marriages people, New South Wales, ACT, Victoria, Tasmania, and it could be South Australia, I'm not sure, but the 12 months rule is waived.
Oh, okay.
If a relationship is registered with the state registrar.
Okay, so have you done that?
We actually have. We just registered a relationship last month.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
We haven't actually bothered because we don't need anything from the state, and so I have no idea what that process entails. Was it?
Just a lot of certification of ID, proving that you've reside together in the same address.
Yep. And thus you have the junk mail and everything else?
Exactly, okay. Yeah. They needed at least 9 months. That's what it seemed. It wasn't a written rule, but it definitely, that's what I understood from the advisors at Glediff and such.
Yep.
And it was approved within 3 weeks.
Oh, that's great.
It was good.
Yeah, so 9 months is the gestation period of a relationship.
Yeah, and so you carry that box pretty much everywhere you go with, by the sound of it.
You're always
filling it up and taking it on to other offices. And
yeah, we're now at the process of organizing the binder that we'll be submitting for the application. So we're organizing the photo parts of it.
Yep.
We just sent out our statutory declarations to our friends because my partner is from Adelaide originally.
Okay.
And so we just sent off the letters to his best friends and family. And
wow.
So we're just at the cusp of sending it in, so it's good.
And how long has it taken you to get to this point where you're almost ready to send it in? Sort of?
I think in the past 3 weeks, it was the registration of our relationship that was the hanging point of everything because of the not living together for the full 12 months. Mm-hmm. Once that came through, we were gung-ho on everything else.
We've
already done the criminal checks. That was great. It was pretty easy. The police department here was really helpful.
Yep.
On the fingerprints, sent it to Canada. They sent it back to us.
Okay.
AFP was also pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's kind of gone smoothly. And then my medical check is next week. So.
Okay. Yeah, I did wonder, because I did this process as the foreign partner, but we were outside of Australia. I was wondering, did you have to do the medical, and how did you do the police check if you're not there? Because I had to go to the police station in the city where I was living and do all sorts of things. And you obviously couldn't do that in Canada since you're here.
No, it was really easy. Canada had forms that they sent to me, but at the same time, I just walked into the police department here in Camberwell, and they did the fingerprints right there, and they Canada accepted that. So,
oh, that's great. That's great. And is it an expensive process? By the time you've done all medical, stat debts, everything else?
I would say it's approximately between 3,000 to 3,500.
Okay. And yeah. You can do it all without a lawyer?
Yeah, we haven't spoken to a lawyer yet. So.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of Glitif, of being there, of the yellow book. When I did it, it was a red book. but we followed it to the letter of the law. And they didn't seem, I couldn't imagine what a lawyer would do once you had all that terrific advice.
The sort of service that we provide to people for $100 is the same service you'll get from an immigration lawyer for, I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000.
Indeed.
One of our volunteer advisors is, in fact, an immigration lawyer who charges thousands to people who walk into his office door.
He hasn't got copies of those yellow books anywhere.
But yeah, look, for $100, it's an amazingly good service, and you're right, Dragon, you don't need a lawyer.
No, it's amazing.
And Dragon, how did you find out about the Glitif in the first place? And like, if you had been living together for a year and then suddenly found out you've got to do all this stuff, I mean, it sounds like luckily you had the box ready to do that.
Well, we found out through my roommate. He had, like I said, he'd done the citizenship with his partner, the de facto visa. Mm-hmm. And they had just mentioned about it, that there is a task force for gay and lesbians. And we just kind of went onto the website, checked it out, went to a meeting, and was right from there.
Bob's your uncle, as they say.
and with that meeting on a Sunday, is that a case of anyone who's interested just can rock up on the Sunday?
Yes.
How does it work?
Yeah. Yes. And for the for the information session, you don't even have to join. But if you don't join, you can't talk to an advisor.
Okay. And we give you the contact information. So if anyone's interested, the website is glitifvic.org.au. So that's glitifvic.org.au, and the phone number is 03-5294-0293. And we'll put that information on our Facebook website as well.
Great. So we're going to come back, a few announcements, another song, and then we'll continue talking and let Jeff tell his immigration story as the sponsor. You're listening to Orange Ribbon on
Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
All right. That's Richard Marks with Right Here Waiting for You. And Jeff, why that song?
Why that song?
Why that song?
I met my partner Richard on the internet.
Not Richard Marks.
Not that Richard, no. And although we visited each other a few times, it was actually 3 years before we could be together.
Wow.
So for that time, our theme song was I'm Right Here Waiting for You.
Yep. And where's he from?
He's from Taiwan.
He's from Taiwan. And you met on the internet?
We met on the internet. We were both just sort of cruising through meeting sites and came across each other. And I've got to say, I'd sort of met a few Taiwanese fellows on the internet before. They tended to fall in love in the first 5 or 10 minutes and fall out of love again in the next 10 minutes. So
was that just your ability?
Just once they got to know me. But this time it was different. We bonded almost straight away and decided to meet on the internet again later in the day. And we did.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
He showed up.
He showed up and I showed up. And that actually happens to be 8 years next Friday.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow. Thank you, yes.
Is eight paper or coal or what's the eight-year anniversary?
That'd be something.
Yeah, it's certainly not diamonds yet, but it's something. Opal, maybe.
Yeah, so it took us 3 years to go through the process with each other. We wanted to be sure. If he was going to come here and live, he had a very good job. He loved his country. He had good friends, good family.
Yep.
So if he was going to move, we wanted to be absolutely sure that we really wanted to be together and that we were compatible.
Yep.
Mm. So throughout those 3 years, I think we were in contact several times every day. We used Yahoo Messenger, thank goodness for the internet.
Indeed.
We found we were able to make fairly cheap international phone calls, So we would talk to each other on the phone several times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true to say that we virtually knew exactly what the other was doing 24/7 in two different countries.
I can't even say that about the partner I live with.
So I joined Glitif before Richard came here. We had to find a way of getting the 12 months together.
Yeah, I was going to ask how
and
you
I must say
that.
This is a subject that comes up almost every Sunday meeting. Mm-hmm. Someone will put up their hand and say, look, I'm here on a tourist visa for 3 months or 6 months. How do we get 12 months together?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have a magic solution to that. But in our case, Richard's English wasn't terribly good. So the logical thing was for him to come here as a full-time student of English.
Yep.
That cost a fortune. It cost $13,000. But it was worth it. It did two things. It taught him English, and it enabled us to be together to meet the 12-month requirement.
Yep.
And probably more importantly than anything else, it enabled us to try each other out. If at the end of that 12 months it hadn't worked out, then, okay, he's learned English, he could go back.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm pleased to say that wasn't the case.
Excellent.
We've now been living together for 5 years, and we are very, very happy and very, very much in love. There is not just a cultural and language difference between us, but there's an age gap of 30 years.
Wow.
I'm 65, he's 35.
And yet you're a perfect match.
We are, yeah, yeah. And we absolutely love being together.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a pretty lucky old bugger.
Indeed you are. So your application process, you were already involved with Glitif, so you knew everything that you needed to do.
I knew what I had to do, but I used Glitif heavily. Mm-hmm. To monitor the processes we went through, to be able to go to the general meeting to get advice, to follow the yellow book, to talk to advisors.
Mm-hmm.
So it was funny. It was a long 12 months wait. We knew we had to wait that long, and we knew what process we had to go through, but it still seemed to go on forever.
Yeah.
And his student visa expired on a Sunday, and our 12 months together was the preceding Thursday.
So you had one just business day?
We did. We had to get all our paperwork together and go into the department on this Thursday, and boy, my heart was going pitter-patter, 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 that something would go wrong.
Yeah.
But as I said earlier, they couldn't have been nicer. They were really terrific.
That's lovely.
And the guy actually said, look, you don't have to have this bridging visa in your passport, but you can if you want to. And I said, thank you, yes, we'll have it. I want to see it then.
Yep. And so you had been planning basically for the 12 months to how to get the paperwork together that sort of thing. So what about couples who, you know, they've been together for a while, they didn't know they wanted to stay together forever and do this immigration thing, and, you know, they hadn't saved stuff for what? How did they do it?
Well, I don't know. I think probably they have to start their 12 months from scratch if they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
But if they happen to have taken photos and have evidence, if they happen to have a joint lease, all these things count.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't got a joint bank account, but that in itself doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that you pick that one, because that is the one that my partner and I did not have. We had been together for more than 5 years living in the United States, but I had had a job and she had arrived as a student, and then we worked at the same university. And so we never bothered with the joint bank account. It just never seemed like an issue. And that was the one thing we did not have, but we went off and got wills and all the other stuff, and it was fine.
I think probably if you did a survey of gay couples, male or female, you would find that most of them don't have a joint bank account. But this is something that the department sees as a characteristic of a genuine relationship based on the marriage model.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if that's what married couples do, that's what partners should do.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many married couples actually do it these days. I think it's quite a...
Probably not so much these days.
I think it's probably based back in the days where the man went out to work and the joint bank account was the man's bank account, probably.
Or they got married so young that they were both sort of setting off in adulthood together, whereas, you know, we were already in our 30s and we were pretty set up without each other and just the addition.
Yeah, it's not as if it's easy to sort out the bank account, isn't it? It's just, you just think it's just too much hassle. We'll deal with it as we deal with it.
And, we've been together for 13 and a half years now. We still don't have my bank account.
So our situation happens to be that I do all the banking. So it's a mere technicality that the bank account is in two names, but it doesn't matter. So, we've got 5 years together, and I hope we have many more.
I hope you do too.
Once you have that visa, is that it? Then you get your permanent residency from that.
So you apply in the first instance for a subclass 820 visa. When that's granted, it's a temporary residence visa. It gives you all the rights of permanent residence, but it isn't permanent residence. And the wording actually says something along the lines of the visa, the person's allowed to stay in Australia until a decision is made on permanent residence. At the end of 2 years, the department then writes to you and invites you to submit a very small amount of paperwork. And then the second stage visa, the 801, is granted. That's full permanent residence, full unconditional permanent residence.
And there is an exception to that, right? Or maybe that's changed. But when I did this back in 2003, we had been together for more than 5 years, and so I got the permanent right away.
Yes, that is the case.
That's still the case?
Yes. It's not usual, but it's certainly the case. Mm-hmm. It happens.
And we were warned by GLIDIF to make sure to ask for the permanent because the immigration department would grant you the provisional one unless you pointed out, no, more than 5 years here, more than 5 years. and they did. And it was granted that way. I can't believe that we are nearly out of time. So we've got one final song to play. And since I'm not going to get a chance to ask Dragan afterwards, why have you picked this last song?
I figure to give a little French Canadian aspect to the show, and it's just a beautiful song from Celine. It's Celine Dion's "Pourquoi tu m'aimes encore." I'm a little weak with my French as well.
He's not a French speaker. And you've been listening to Jeff and Dragan on Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Mark and Barb.
Yep, and we'll put that information up on the Orange Ribbon website again, glitfvic.org.au. And I just want to quickly mention, hi Dad, who's listening it back in the UK, so that's Clive.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.